Hi, everybody. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Steve. Thank you for joining us today on this first day of October. We hope you have your magazine with you, and we can open to page 10 for our culture lesson, Window on the World. And to help teach this lesson today, we have in the studio Amanda and Ellen. Welcome, you two.
Thank you.
Yeah, so great to have you guys to help us expand our worldview. So you guys are very cultured, I would say. You're well-traveled. You're from different parts of the world, and so we're glad to have you and have your opinions here. Amanda, are you interested in sports at all? You grew up playing sports?
Yes, I think being from New Zealand, we're a very sporting country, and sports is definitely one of the activities we do after work or during our leisure time.
Right, right. Sports are very important, I know, yeah, in New Zealand. And how about where you're from, Ellen?
Well, I have two countries represented in this article, which is the USA and Brazil, and both countries are very big on sports, too. So, yeah, I've always enjoyed playing sports.
Okay. You said you are representing Brazil a little bit. Can you explain that a little bit to our listeners?
Sure, sure. I was actually born in Brazil, and then I moved to the United States when I was very young, but I have many relatives who are still there, so we still travel back quite often.
Are they soccer freaks?
They are. They
are. It's part of being Brazil, right?
It's in
Brazilian.
Our blood.
Yeah. It's part of the culture. It really is.
It really is.
And we're going to learn more about that later in today's lesson. But yeah, sports have become so much a part of culture, not just in America, but South America and in your neck of the woods over there in Australia, New Zealand, and now in Asia, it seems it's taken off. Of course, baseball's been around, but now basketball is getting big. What else? I've seen ice hockey now here in Asia.
Wow.
So, yeah, sports is really, really becoming important. Well, let's get into the article. The first sport that we're going to talk about is football. And when we're in the United States, we're not talking about the football maybe that you know as otherwise known as soccer. It's American football, and there's a little cartoon drawing of it there on page 10. Kind of looks like an olive-shaped ball. And so let's learn about college football on page 10. Please join us as we begin reading.
Window on the World. Athletic events and fun activities from around the world. USA, college football. Most people around the world know that professional football, the NFL, is very popular in America. But college football actually has more people attend games, which are primarily held on Saturdays in the fall. Millions of fans plan their weekends around traveling to their alma maters, tailgating and cheering on their schools in stadiums that seat up to 100,000 spectators or more. The festive atmosphere gives alumni a chance to relive their college years, and current students an opportunity to enthusiastically show their school spirit. Universities and colleges of all sizes have teams, so each fall weekend features hundreds of games throughout the country.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about American football. And this is the most popular sport now in the United States, football. It used to be baseball many, many years ago. I think football in the 60s and 70s and the 80s overtook that position. So football is the most popular sport. But this particular article, we're talking about college football. And college football, Ellen, has a very special place in people's hearts, right?
Right. So many people in the States, of course, go to college or university, and many schools, if they're big enough, they will have a lot of sports teams. And one of the most prominent or most important teams, of course, is a football team. It kind of encompasses the whole school spirit type
atmosphere. That's a good way to say it. Yeah. Yeah. In America, Most colleges, universities, they have sports teams that play each other on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not so common here in Asia. I'm wondering in New Zealand, what is it like that also, Amanda?
It is. It is with the sports that we consider our national sports. We do that. Colleges do play each other.
And each college is in a different division based on its size? And
yes.
Okay, good.
Yes.
So it's pretty similar to the U.S.
Right.
All right. Here we're talking about college football. Has more people attend games live. Okay, so the Professional League, the National Football League, which is also known as the NFL, is extremely popular, but most people watch those games on television. Okay, now we're talking about actually going to see a game in the stadium, and college football holds that record. And those games are held on Saturdays in the fall. And when I think of that, I grew up in Northeast United States, and there's a special feeling in the air. The air is crisp, and you can hear the marching bands play.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Did you ever have that kind of experience?
Well, I went to a very small school, so I didn't actually do that. But I have, seen many videos and stuff, and it's a very special atmosphere, I think.
Yeah. Even in high schools, mm-hmm. A lot of games will be played on Saturdays, and it's quite exciting. There's a lot of energy in the air. But those are held on Saturdays in the fall, and millions of fans plan their weekends around traveling. So these football games are more than just a sporting event. They're a time for people to get together, kind of an excuse for a party.
Right. And it's a great reason to get together. I love how it says they plan their weekends around it. So it's the primary reason the primary event on their weekend, and everything else gets put to the side or reprioritized for that game.
Interesting. Yeah, you're right. All events are pushed aside. We're going to the football game, and some are going to their alma maters. Ellen, can you explain this word? Is it English?
Sure. It's actually Latin, and it just means it's the school that you graduated from. So if you graduated from a certain high school or a certain university, those are your alma maters.
Okay, good. On a side note, interestingly, mater is where we get the word mother from. And so literally, alma mater means nourishing or bountiful mother. So it's the place where you go to get nourished intellectually.
That actually is very interesting, because in Chinese it's mu xiao, which is mu as in the mother character too.
So yeah, okay, so cool. There's a connection with that.
Hmm.
Interesting. Tailgating, the next word we see, is what people do after they get to the stadium or venue. Have you ever tailgated, Amanda?
I would have to say I probably have, to the annoyance of the person in front of me. But I think it's interesting here that this has a different reason or a different meaning to the tailgate that I'm talking about.
Okay, first let's do the meaning you're thinking of first.
Okay, that is getting too close to the car in front of you.
Mm.
Usually there is you should keep 2 to 3 vehicle lengths between you and the car in front of you. But if you're getting too close to that car, that is called tailgating.
Right. If you're driving and the guy behind you is too close and you could see, or the woman is behind you too close, you could say, that person is tailgating me. They're traveling too close to you and it's unsafe.
Mm-hmm.
But in this instance, tailgating has a different meaning. It takes on a different meaning.
So it takes on the meaning of when you show up at a game that early and you kind of have a celebration. So sometimes it often involves a barbecue or some drinks with your friends, and it's to attend or host a party right before a game.
Yeah, exactly. But with a little different thing, the tailgating refers to an automobile usually, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the tail is the back end of the car, and the gate is usually the door or the trunk to the car. So that is going to be opened. The car is going to be parked. The tailgate is going to be opened, or the trunk. And out of that will come the barbecue, will come the drinks,
mm-hmm.
the folding chairs. And
right.
people will just have a picnic a barbecue right there from the back of their car. That's right. Called tailgating, right? And so everybody, these parking lots are full of these tailgaters having these parties, and you talk to your neighbors next to you and you interact, and it's a big, big festive time. So they're tailgating, cheering on their schools and stadiums. 100,000 people.
Does the tailgating happen before the game or during the game?
Before the game. Probably during the game for those unfortunate people that don't have tickets to get in.
Right.
They'll probably stay in the parking lot, maybe listen to the radio and hear the game over the radio.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but there's 100,000 people, spectators.
That's a lot.
Yeah. That's a huge stadium.
I don't think any American sports stadiums hold that many people. That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I've only heard that number maybe in Brazil with football,
with
right?
Soccer games, yeah.
Is there a stadium in Brazil, maybe 110,000, 120,000 people?
I don't know specifically, but I imagine because of the World Cup that they built some stadiums that can hold a lot.
I think I remember hearing something about a stadium in Brazil being the largest in the world, maybe 120,000 people.
Wow.
It's a lot of people. Of course, the festive atmosphere gives alumni a chance to relive their college years. So people are always looking for ways to stay young, right?
Exactly.
And this is one way.
Yeah. And I think, you know, your college days and your college is a very important part of your identity, especially you know, as you go on and move on with your career. So, you know, reliving those times is always something people want to do.
Yeah, and you're not working yet. You know, you had free time then. Well, apart from studying, of course, but you're not in the routine of everyday life, so to say. So you get to, yeah, relive the time or the memories that you had back then.
Right. Great time for people to meet old friends, old classmates as well. Okay, universities and colleges of all sizes have teams. You kind of mentioned this earlier, Ellen. So each fall weekend features hundreds of games throughout the country. And we're not even talking or including high school games. So throw in high school games, you've got thousands of football games happening each weekend in America. Okay, let's move on to soccer. Please join us as we read about this starting on line 16.
Brazil, soccer. Soccer, known as football in most of the world, is the most popular sport on the planet. And in many countries, it is the favorite activity of children, teens, and adults. In most underdeveloped and emerging countries, children don't have equipment or facilities for highly organized sports. Thus, the simplicity of soccer makes it a very accessible sport. All you need is a ball and some open space. The beautiful game, a coined phrase that refers to soccer, is an institution in Brazil, and street games in Rio de Janeiro are where youngsters hone their skills. In rural areas, some empty farmland serves as the pitch for pickup games. It's little wonder that Brazil has won 5 World Cups with such a passionate and practiced populace.
Thank you, Anna, for that great reading. Okay, we're in Brazil now, and we're playing soccer. To clear up this confusion, perhaps you're confused by the terms football and soccer. We just talked about American football, which is not soccer. Soccer comes from England, actually. This word comes from England, right?
Yes.
And so, but in England, they call it football. It's a little confusing. So soccer is football that the world knows, and it's the most popular sport on the planet. Why do you think that is, Ellen?
Well, soccer is a game that you don't need a lot of equipment apart from a ball. And so it's easy for people who are maybe wealthy or not so wealthy to play it.
Okay, yeah, it's, we would say accessible, right? It's very accessible to people. All you need is just some empty space, maybe an old lot or a field or maybe even a beach, a sandy beach, and you can play soccer. If you have a ball or a bunch of rags, people might roll up into a ball and you can kick that around. So it's really, really accessible for people. It's the favorite activity of children, teens, and adults. What do we find out on line 18, Amanda?
Well, we see that in most underdeveloped and emerging countries, children don't have equipment. I think this is similar to what Alan was saying, or the facilities for highly organized sports. You mentioned just needing a, you know, field or a lot. You know, basketball, you usually need the court for that. Baseball, you even need all the, you know, the diamonds and these kinds of things. You don't need any of that. So, like Alan was saying, if you are lower socioeconomic country or underdeveloped, you're able to play this sport.
Exactly, exactly. Baseball, you need bats and gloves and bases, right? You can make do with some other things for that, and kids do, but it's much, much easier to just make a ball out of something and play soccer.
Mm. Right.
So, as it says, exactly. All you need is a ball and some open space. Line 20 says, soccer is the beautiful game. And this was a phrase created that refers to soccer as an institution in Brazil. And we kind of alluded to this earlier. Ellen, tell us a little bit about how soccer is in the hearts and minds of all Brazilians.
Well, I think one way to describe it is that Brazilians just live and breathe soccer. You know, everything is about this game. My uncle once described it as when Brazil is playing in the World Cup. You know, Brazil is quite a violent country still at this time, but he said when Brazil is playing, you know, even the criminals stop committing crime. You know, it's that important to the people. And yeah, it's just, they love it. They are passionate about it. Sometimes maybe too much.
Mm-hmm.
like last year when they didn't do so well at the World Cup, you know, I was almost a little worried that there was going to be some riots, which thankfully there wasn't.
Okay, yeah. So Brazilians take their football very seriously.
Right.
And I like what the author says here. In fact, Bill is the author, Bill Quinn, and he says that it's an institution in Brazil. And when I think of an institution, I think of something that is accepted by many people that helps society run smoothly, like marriage would be considered an institution, or education, the media, military, medicine. But football? You know, football, is that in the same list, or should it be in the same list as those other things? Well, in Brazil, yes is the answer, right? Mm-hmm. It really is an institution. Okay, tell me about street games a little bit, Amanda.
Well, a street game is basically a game of the sport played on the street. So you were mentioning earlier in soccer, you don't need, you may just have a field or a lot. And here, if you just have the street, then you just play a game on the street. You might have the neighbors get together or your friends. You may not need as many people as a normal soccer game. It's just a friendly game of soccer on the street.
Okay.
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of the famous soccer players or football players that you hear of today, many of them hone their skills. They practice their skills through these pickup games and street games.
Okay. Do you remember seeing street games growing up?
I did not.
Okay.
Because I didn't actually grow up in Brazil, but, you know, I've seen kids do it when I've gone back.
Yeah, and even in other parts of the world, of course, street games are pretty common. When the neighborhood kids get together and they'll play football in the streets.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the word that you said earlier, hone their skills. That means to sharpen their skills or polish their skills. Farmland serves as a field or a pitch, which is the formal word for a field for football. And pickup games. Tell me a little bit about pickup, the word pickup.
Pickup is just, at that moment you kind of pick something up and you just go do it. So pickup games is just this idea where, you know, it wasn't pre-planned, but if there's enough kids together at the same time, they will start a game.
Exactly, exactly. Okay, one other thing before we move on, I'd like to call your attention to in the last sentence. Our author says, it's a little wonder that Brazil has won 5 cups with such a passionate and practiced populace.
Mm-hmm.
Now, our friend Bill did that on purpose. You notice those words in the end of the sentence, three of them begin with a P, and that's just a form of alliteration that I wanted to call your attention to. Again, it's called alliteration, and it's the use of words that begin with the same sound, which creates interest. It's a writing device, and so Bill was doing that on purpose. Passionate, practiced, populous. Okay, let's move on to Scotland, page 11. Let's go to the top and begin reading about Highland Games.
Scotland, Highland Games. How about an athletic festival where most of the participants wear kilts? From May to September, there are over 60 scheduled contests of Highland Games throughout Scotland, featuring feats of strength, tests of speed and endurance, and even music and dance competitions. Some of the sports include tug-of-war, caber tossing, hammer throw, and shot put. Bagpipe groups provide the signature music of Scotland, and male and female dancers vie for top prizes in dancing. There's even a haggis eating competition, where hungry participants see who can eat a pound of the yummy sheep pudding the fastest.
All right, we're traveling around the world looking at athletic events. We went to the United States, where we saw college football. Then we moved down to Brazil, where there was soccer. And now we flew to Scotland for the Highland Games. So how about an athletic festival where most of the participants wear kilts? Now we're talking about men, right? All right, so Amanda, what are kilts?
Well, a kilt is, you know, it's a very traditional clothing in Scotland. It's one of our specialized terms. And it says here it's a garment that resembles a skirt. So it looks like a skirt, and it is normally worn by men in Scotland.
Okay, there's a picture of it there on page 11 towards the top. That man there is wearing a kilt.
Mm-hmm.
It does indeed look like a skirt. I don't know how it's just another name for a skirt, right?
It is. Actually, when I was in high school, we wore kilts as part of our uniform, our winter uniform, and it is just a what we call tartan material. You see it's got square lines on it. That's tartan material.
Okay.
And it just folds over, and it has a little pin at the bottom that keeps it from flapping up.
Okay, so the guys would wear those as well?
Not as a winter uniform in high school. Only in Scotland do the men wear
it.
Got
it. All right.
Or you're Scottish.
Okay, so from May to September, 5 or 6 months, there were over 60 scheduled contests of Highland Games throughout Scotland. So they love their sports too, obviously. They're playing for half the year, 60 scheduled events. And what do they feature, Ellen?
Well, they feature feats of strength, and feats just meaning something that's very difficult to do and requires a lot of skill. And it has tests of speed and endurance, and even music and dancing competitions.
All right, so they may not necessarily be sports as we know them, but they still are feats, as you just described, which are strengths, skills, tests of speed, and so on. Now, some of the sports include tug of war, and that's something we're all familiar with, right? A rope, and then two teams trying to pull the rope over a certain line. Next is caber tossing. Any idea what that is?
Yes, it's a large pole, or they call it a large tapered pole. And they grab it at the bottom, and they try to toss it as far as they can.
Okay, I'm picturing it's made of wood.
Yes.
Maybe it's a tree trunk.
Mm-hmm.
2 meters, 3 meters tall?
It's about as tall, like a telephone pole.
Mm-hmm. Not that tall, though.
Yeah.
Really?
Really, yeah.
Wow. Okay,
yeah.
So that's super heavy.
Mm-hmm.
It's super difficult to balance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that does take a lot of strength and, wow, courage and skill. All right, next is hammer throw. Is that guy in the picture doing a hammer throw?
I think he's doing the shot put.
Okay, yeah. That's a shot put.
Mm.
Hammer throw, a hammer, of course, is something, a tool, a heavy tool, and so if it's throwing, see how far. You could throw that shot put, something like the man is doing there in the picture, another very heavy item, trying to throw it as far as possible. All right, now we move on to bagpipes. Ellen, what are bagpipes?
Bagpipes is an instrument where in which the person who's playing it blows into the instrument, and there's kind of a lot of bags there, and as you push or expand these pipes, then it makes different sounds.
Okay, and it's very, very distinctive. If you hear bagpipes, you'll know it. It's very, very, it calls it the signature music of Scotland. Mm. And then there are dancers who compete for top prizes. And I want to get to this next thing. There's a haggis eating competition. Let's talk about haggis for a second.
Yeah, I'm not really keen on haggis. I don't really like haggis. Haggis is made from a sheep's stomach.
Okay.
And I'm not sure what they put inside it.
Sheep parts, like parts of hearts, lungs, liver, and they're all chopped up and mixed together, and then they put some oats and some other things together, and it's kind of like a sausage.
Ah.
All right, and then they cook it. It's called haggis. And they make a competition out of it, an eating competition. So see who can eat a pound of the yummy sheep pudding the fastest. And that's another way to say haggis, sheep pudding. So, yeah, internal parts of the sheep. Mmm.
No.
No.
Does not sound appetizing.
All right, so that's part of the Highland Games. Friends, we hope you join us tomorrow as we continue traveling around the world, looking at some athletic events and fun activities on this Window on the World article. Until then, my name is Steve, and on behalf of all of us here at Advanced, it's time to say goodbye.